So Iran has prepared for long-term conflict. Iran, this isn't about, for instance, the Israeli tactic of initiating a war that's supposed to be over in a matter of days. Iran has prepared for a conflict that's designed to last months. So Iran is prepared for this. Two, the Iranians have offered Israel the opportunity to end this conflict at any time. The war will end today if Israel stops bombing Iran. That's it. So Iran has put the power of stopping this war in the hands of Israel. And the fact that the Israelis won't end this war is sort of an act of suicide on the part of Israel. Today, 1 week into this conflict, Israel has suffered a $500 billion worth of infrastructure damage. $500 billion worth of infrastructure damage. It's a small country. This is already made this. If the war stopped today, Israel would not be able to recover from this conflict economically. $500 billion. If this war continues for another week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, you're looking at the physical destruction of Israel, literally the physical destruction of Israel, which makes Israel's survivability as a nation state impossible. Israel is committing suicide as we speak because of the Iranian strategy. So, for the critics, what did they want? I mean, the critics of Iran, were they looking for Iran to defeat Israel? Iran is defeating Israel. And Iran is defeating Israel in the only manner that is politically possible for Israel to make the decisions that lead to its destruction, not Iran. A key aspect to this, the Iranian strategy, is to keep America out of this conflict, because that's the only hope Israel has of survival, is direct intervention by the United States. And so far, Iran has been very successful in this regard. But I do think we need to understand this is an existential war of survival between Iran and Israel. Only one nation walks away from this victorious, and it will be Iran because of the strategic direction and thinking of their leadership. So for the people that wanted Iran to be more aggressive and to do more things, I would say that you might get a different outcome than what you have right now. The strategy of the Iranian government is a very pragmatic, responsible, realistic strategy that's premised on, as you indicated, a war of attrition. But it's not necessarily a war of attrition of Israeli ballistic missile interceptors and Iranian missiles. We've already shown, the Iranians have already shown, that Israel can't defend against Iranian missiles. So it doesn't matter how many missile interceptors Israel has. They could have an infinite number of missile interceptors. Iran has devised the ballistic missile solution to the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome cannot defeat Iran. Even the Iron Dome, enhanced with American support, the THAAD missile, the Aegis systems, satellites, etc., can't defeat the Iranians. The Iranians are defeating the Iron Dome. So while people say, well, in 12 days, Iran or Israel may run out of missiles, it doesn't matter. Israel could have infinite numbers of intercept missiles, and it's not succeeding in stopping the Iranians. Meanwhile, the Iranians continue to unveil more and more and more modern missiles that are capable of defeating this defense shield. So I think Iran is on a path of strategic victory against Israel. And if the United States stays out of this conflict, and Israel doesn't use nuclear weapons against Iran, Iran wins this war. But now we've
That's
come
a
up to
question.
the,
That's a question. First of all, let's just keep United States out of this so far, because the critics say, I mean, the number of Iranian casualties is about tenfold of the Israeli casualties, and also they say Israel has created a sky highway in Iran, so it goes back and forth whenever they want to come and go. They bomb whatever they want, so it seems that technologically they have the upper hand. And also, they claim that they are destroying Iran's missile arsenal one after another. How do you interpret that? How much of that is like propaganda? How much of it is real? And based on what you see from Iranian missile operations, which seems that every night becomes more precise, but also becomes less number of missiles, how do you interpret this claim by Israelis?
Well, first of all, there's no doubt that Israel has a very effective military. We know that. They have the most modern equipment, the most modern weaponry, and they're highly trained. And so why is it inconceivable that Israel could penetrate Iranian air defenses and launch strikes against targets in Iran? It's not inconceivable. It's highly probable that this is the case. But we have to look at the attack profile. Is this a case, as Israel says, of airplanes loitering over Iran free rein, or is each attack a very planned attack along a specific route where weapons are released and then the assets return home? I think it's more of this is a pre-planned attack. I don't think Israel's just rolling up in the skies, having total control of the skies. If they were, then we'd hear the Israeli jets, we'd see the Israeli jets, and the attacks would be far more continuous in nature. These are attacks that, you know, are pre-planned attacks, generally involving weapons released from a distance, and also supported by drone operations on the soil of Iran, where the Mossad has been very effective in building drone support. Over time, this drone support is eroding. The Iranians are rolling up the drone operators, which takes away, you know, one of Israel's best, you know, strike assets, leaving the Israeli Air Force. Now, what no one's talking about is what damage has Iran done to Israeli air forces, done to Israeli air bases. It's not just about destroying aircraft. It's about destroying petroleum, fuel, destroying infrastructure. Already, the rumor is that Israel has had been forced to flee to the British bases on Cyprus because they are unable to operate on the Israeli bases, many of the Israeli bases in Israel. So if this war continues and Iran continues to apply precision strike against Israel, you're going to see a degradation of Israel's ability to sustain this air conflict, this air campaign. Israel has not stopped the Iranian missiles. In fact, Iran today is using more advanced missiles with greater penetration capability and greater precision. So they're actually doing more damage right now with less strikes than they were with the massive missile strikes were basically a political message to create a visual reality of the impotence of Israel, to have all these missiles coming in, have the Israeli interceptors going up and still having missiles impact on the ground. It's a sort of a form of psychological warfare. And I think what the Iranians were hoping is that Israel would say, we want this to stop. We don't want to continue. But now Israel's crossed the threshold where we're into a long war of attrition. And I think Iran wins this war of attrition. You know, Israel hasn't stopped the Iranian ballistic missile force. The Iranians have been planning for this for some time now. There's no doubt in my mind that Israel is... Go ahead.
But as you see, I mean, again, the critics say Iranians are only using missiles, whereas Israel has like so many different kind of options in its in its kill book. So they use drones, they use kind of car bombs, they use assassination, they use terrorism, they use different forms of hybrid warfare, and now they are promising that we're going to do something Thursday or Friday, that pager attack was nothing in comparison. And then they're also like, I don't know, they're targeting the kind of heads of like Iranian army, Iranian like IRGC, etc. So what would you say in this like lack of symmetry, in this asymmetry between the fact that Iran is only using one form of classical weaponry and Israel has many different things in its strategy?
First of all, you have to understand that there is no common border between Israel and Iran. So the Iranians have built the weapon that best maximizes their potential to have an impact on Israel. One Iranian missile is not the same as the next Iranian missile. So Iran actually has a tremendous range of options that it can bring to bear. It can bring in the Khaibar system with a massive 2,000-pound warhead. It can bring in more advanced systems with multiple warheads, cluster munitions. They have separating warheads. They have hypersonic missiles. That gives them a tremendous range of options. So Iran actually has a whole menu of missiles that it can pick and attack different targets. So the idea that Iran has limited itself is an absurd idea, because Iran has given itself a tremendous amount of flexibility, to include drones which have penetrated Israel and struck Israel. So the idea that Iran doesn't need to have operatives on the ground in Israel blowing things up with a car bomb. First of all, that's not necessarily how Iran works. They might be a more moral nation than that. Those are pinprick attacks, the car bombs, the drones. You don't win wars with car bombs and drones. You win wars with, concerted military action sustained over a period of time to achieve defined objectives. And the Iranian missile arsenal has been built, conceived to do just that. Israel's running out of tricks as Iran rolls up the Mossad networks that limits Israel. I mean, they were saying early on that 80% of the attacks done by Israel on Iran were done by these Mossad drone operators. So when you eliminate them, you suddenly diminished Israel's capacity to do harm by a significant percentage. Does Israel have any secret weapons up its sleeve? I mean, they've been firing these long-range standoff missiles, Blue Streak, Silver Streak, Red Streak, whatever you want to call them. And they have some other capabilities out there they're using as well. But, that's it. And Iran has already shown that it can defeat some of these systems, make it difficult for Israel to launch. And also, remember, Iran's a huge country. The number of targets that Israel will have to strike to defeat Iran exceed the amount of munitions in the Israeli arsenal. Iran, on the other hand, has more than enough missiles to make Israel disappear off the face of the earth, and they're in the process of doing that. So, yes, if I were an Iranian, I'd be frustrated. Nobody likes to see buildings get blown up. Nobody wants to see leadership. But the Iranian leadership is mature. They knew this was coming. They have resilience. They have prepared for this. If you take out a senior Iranian commander, there is somebody ready to take his place who is qualified. If the Israelis take out the supreme leader, there is somebody who will take his place. This is a theocracy, meaning that this is a nation defined by its religious faith. And if you don't respect that, then you're not going to do. If you think the Iranians are so shallow that the loss of Ali Khamenei would mean that the Iranians lose faith, they give up their religion, they walk away from Ali, then you don't know the Iranian people. First of all, the Shia faith is based upon the concept of sacrifice and martyrdom. I mean, Ali and Karbala,
Hussein and Karbala.
All you're doing, I mean, I don't mean to be too facetious, but all Israel's doing is giving the Iranians the best chance to be the best Shia possible so they can walk in the footsteps of Ali at Karbala. The point is, the Iranians are deeply faithful people, and you're not going to change them by killing Ali Khamenei.
Given the whole war started with a blitzkrieg, with a surprise attack by Israel, some people might have, blitzkrieg happened, are conducted to make you lose your confidence. So some people would think that Israel might have many unknown tricks which surprise us again. And the language they use, the psyops they use, are all trying to accentuate and confirm this. My question to you is, you said Iranians have been preparing for this for a long time. But the other side as well, it seems that Israelis should have prepared for this for a long time. Israelis knew that attacking Iran is not attacking Lebanon, is not attacking Gaza. Even Gaza has taken 622 days, let alone Iran. So I don't want like to overestimate Israelis, but at the same time, we don't want to underestimate their power. Don't you think that the Israelis who are all united around this is not only Netanyahu? They have some possible strategy as well for the coming months. They wouldn't think that it's going to be a war of 1 week or 2 weeks. So what's your assessment of their long-term strategy and hope?
Well, Israel has been planning for a war against Iran for some time. You're 100% correct on that. And we know by looking at the Mossad operations in Iran, some of them date back 10 years. Israel has been preparing for this for a decade. The Air Force has been preparing these very strike profiles that they're flying right now. They've been training them. They used to go up to Turkey and fly them in Konya. Along terrain that replicates what they'd experience here. So Israel has been prepared for this, but Israel has also come to the realization that they cannot initiate and sustain an air campaign against Iran without the assistance of the United States. That's always been one of the critical factors. And there's nothing that has changed in Israel's military posture that would change that conclusion. In fact, if you take a look at, because Israel has had this conflict within Gaza with Hezbollah and is currently engaged in Syria, Israel's weaker today than they would be at any other time previous to this. So they're striking Iran when they're actually weaker, not stronger. Yes, they use some tricks, you know, but if I'm going to use an American football analogy, hopefully your audience will understand it. But if I'm a coach preparing for at the beginning of the season to go to the Super Bowl, if all I do is focus on trick plays, okay, here's a trick play, here's a trick play, here's a trick play. That trick play may work once, but then it's done. It doesn't work again. Or do I work on fundamentals, a running attack, a passing attack, how to do a drive, how to work on position control so that we dominate the field? The team that works on fundamentals wins the Super Bowl. The team that has to rely on trick plays doesn't go to the Super Bowl. Israel right now, understanding that they can't win this game without American assistance, relied on trick plays, and it didn't work. Iran has recovered, and Iran, having worked on fundamentals, is winning the campaign. Israel's only hope right now is that the United States intervene. That's their only hope for salvation. If the United States fails to intervene and this war continues, then Israel will be physically destroyed by the Iranian ballistic missiles.
And would that be conceivable for American politics as a whole, left and right, to sit back and watch Israel as its most expensive kind of military asset in the last 70 years to be destroyed or no? So in a sense, isn't Netanyahu's expected trick, kind of trick was to lure, to do something that America's intervention is absolutely necessary and absolutely inevitable?
Yeah, and had this been a different president, maybe it would have succeeded. But we have a president who ran on a election platform of peace. And the majority of his supporters voted for him to keep America out of wars. And many of these Americans aren't your traditional pro-Israeli crowd. They're pro-America crowd. And so we have a situation here where Israel has started a war with a surprise attack. It's been called a Pearl Harbor type event. If you're an American, you know what Pearl Harbor means. It's the day of infamy when the Japanese launched a surprise attack against us. We don't celebrate this day as a day of amazing Japanese military victory. We celebrate as a day of infamy when we were attacked while we were asleep on a Sunday. Israel now has done that. And there's hardly any Americans that go, well, that's a good thing. Most Americans are going, no. So Israel now has tried to...
bragging about having done September 11.
Yeah, bingo. Thank you. now you have the Israelis trying to make the case, well, we had to do it. They're trying to replicate the case of going to war with Iraq, the threat of weapons of mass destruction, the threat of nuclear weapons. The problem is with Iraq, the CIA was playing the game. They issued false intelligence assessments, et cetera. Here we have the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, saying Iran's not a threat. There is no nuclear weapon program. Even the Director General of the IAEA, who is complicit in using the IAEA as a tool against Iran, and passed, a finding of noncompliance that led to a board decision by the Board of Governors that helped, give Israel to say, look, we have to take action. He now says, no, even their noncompliance, it wasn't about nuclear weapons. There is no nuclear weapons program in Iran. So now, if you're the president trying to explain why we're going to go to war against Iran, it's not going to be because we're here to support Israel. It had to be because Iran represented a threat. But when your director of national intelligence says that Iran doesn't represent a threat, it becomes harder to sell that war. And it becomes harder to get American sympathy to Israel when Israel launched the surprise attack. Iran, it's not just that Iran was evil lurking there. Iran was in the process of negotiating a satisfactory agreement about how to eliminate the threat of an Iranian nuclear weapon. Ali Shamkhani, 2 days before he was murdered by the Israelis, did an interview where he said, we're willing to sign a treaty. This isn't about just saying the fatwa of the supreme leader. We're willing to sign a treaty that says we will never have nuclear weapons. We're willing to have our enrichment capped at 3.75% for just what we need for fuel. We're willing to let American inspectors participate in the inspection process. Iran was willing to do everything, and they were preparing for the negotiations on a Sunday when they were bombed on a Friday. The perfidy of this. Perfidy is a crime, a war crime. The Israelis, also committed a war of aggression, which, according to the Nuremberg precedent, is the highest war crime imaginable, because from a war of aggression, all other crimes emanate. It's very difficult to sell the need for America to sacrifice itself on behalf of Israel when Israel has behaved in a manner that's totally indefensible, totally a manufactured case. So, well, I'm not saying that we won't go to war against Iran. I'm saying that it's not, I know there's people out there say, well, America's under the control of Israel. Not as much as people think we are. We still love America more than we love Israel, most of us. And I don't think Americans are willing to sacrifice their security for Israel.